This talk is about a possibility of tensor field-driven inflation in general relativity. As it was mentioned yesterday, it might be as well that our universe is not Robertson-Walker. And actually, recent observational data more or less come from that. Actually, inflationary scenarios appeared as an attempt to solve several problems that conventional cosmology has problems with, especially a flatness of the observable part of universe, density fluctuations, and so on. In usual inflationary scenarios, mostly scalar fields were used to ensure that in the very beginning of the universe existence, we have a stage when the scale factor of the universe grows very rapidly, actually exponentially, or sometimes it's power inflation. Scalar field inflation had several problems on its own, like time of inflation and number of others. There were attempts to use more advanced form of scalar inflation, such as multi-scalar inflation when they were using two scalar fields, or to use inflation in theories where one scalar field present from the beginning, like scalar tensor theories. So here we attempt to show that inflation scenario is possible also if the inflation is driven by a tensor field rather scalar field. And it's shown that if the initial values of that tensor field are sufficiently big, that is comparable with the Planck units, under the condition that these components change slowly in the beginning, we have a quasi-exponential inflation. Numerical solutions confirm that analytical result. And this inflation works for the case when we have the following constraint, that the zeroth component of the tensor field in the beginning is opposite to the other components. Just what are the requirements of the usual scalar model, that scale factor of the universe should grow approximately 10 in the 30th times. And from observational data, it's required that time of inflation should be not less than 10 in the 8th Planck times. Also, density fluctuations should be between 10 in minus 4 to 10 in minus 5. Well, this is a simplest Lagrangian used in scalar inflation theories. Here we attempt to work with the following non-gravitational Lagrangian. This is a kinetic part, this is a potential energy part. And we use scalar field itself in the following form. We take it diagonal, and we take it only time dependent. Taking a usual spherical symmetric metric and substituting it in a general form of Lagrangian, we come up with this particular form of non-gravitational Lagrangian, and therefore the total action takes the following form. This part is Einstein action, GR action. This part comes from our non-gravitational Lagrangian. Varying this action by tensor field components B epsilon and scale parameter A as well, we come to the following field equations. We see that we have one equation more than we had in scalar inflation, which is reasonable because we have actually one variable more in this approach. Using these field equations, we can transform a second equation among field equations to the following form, which is relatively simpler. Now, if we let's see whether we can make this system, which is definitely nonlinear, whether we can make it simple and solve it analytically without losing too much of quality. If we assume that in the beginning tensor field components were approximately at the same value as Planck mass, and scalar field was changing slowly in the beginning, and of course in the beginning this term which is different for closed flat and open universes, k is negative 1, 0, and 1 correspondingly for open, flat, and closed universes. This term can be ignored because this scale factor is sufficiently big. So making these approximations, we come to the following equation for H-naught, where naught is H-dot, where dot is time derivative. On the other hand, from field equations, we can find that H square is simply this. And comparing these two terms, we can see that H square is much, much greater than H dot. So, Hubble parameter can be considered a constant. Using all these approximations, we rewrite field equations in this much simpler form, and it could made be even simpler if we redefine variables A and B in the following way, that A is epsilon over B, B is B dot over B, big B, capital B. Actually, and we come to the system where we have only one differential equation. So solving that system for A, we obtain the following solution, where mu is a constant and positive constant defined by tensor field mass and Hubble parameter, which is considered constant here. In the initial period, it follows that this variable A is approximately constant, and therefore we can find explicitly one of the tensor field components B, which is decaying exponentially, and epsilon is simply a constant times B. Because of slow change of tensor field components, we can decompose B And in the end, we come with the result that that scale parameter behaves exponential, and we have exponential growth if this term is positive. The question remains whether numerical results would show that our approximations were consistent and we didn't lose much of data. As it goes, under these approximations, we see that for the quite broad range of tensor field parameters, we have this exponential growth regime as far as this condition is satisfied. Any significant deviation from this condition makes inflation impossible. So this is the only strict requirement, or in other words, we require that in the beginning, initial values of this scalar field should obtain this diagonal form, and of course they are only time dependent. And this model also satisfies observational restrictions. Just to show a slide, this is a typical behavior of a scale parameter, though there's no qualitative difference in the picture for different values of tensor field parameters or masses. Still, for bigger field masses, we have more rapid growth, and the same could be said for the bigger initial values of tensor field components. And the model is quite insensitive to the choice of Hubble parameter in the beginning, even if it's much greater than the Planck mass, we still have the same exponential inflation. The time of inflation is somehow shorter. And for example, this curve is for h much smaller than one. We have here a growth approximately 10 in the 30th times. Here it's approximately 8.9 times 10 in 29th. But qualitatively, the behavior is the same. Thank you. Here, what I tried to show that in principle it's possible to obtain inflation with tensor field as well as scalar field. I think that there would be some subtle differences between predictions of tensor and scalar inflations, but I didn't go into that much details on that phase. So that I would do that later.
One of the things that is a difference between the scalar and tensor code perturbation. Does driving inflation by a tensor field give you a different prediction for that?
Actually, no. It still satisfies observational limits for density fluctuations. Just this to satisfy these observational limits. This is one of the reasons that, why we must have a constraint of on to be plus epsilon. Why it should be much lesser than a tensor field components by itself.
Okay, thank the speaker again.